All right, well, it's that time of the week where we take a look back at the week in review with WWE. Tons of things to talk about, including Drew McIntyre getting his partial revenge on Randy Orton. Bayley gets deeper, darker, and better. Roman Reigns starts to show his true colors. And we even dive in to tomorrow night's Monday Night Raw with Drew McIntyre versus Keith Lee, Dominic versus Seth Rollins in a steel cage match, and Mickie James versus Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. So let's get everything started right after this. So there's this brand new podcast out there. It's called The Goat Dad with Chris James. He's a slightly pissed off, cynical father of two young children under five. And on the show, he tries to expose some of the dangers that our kids face, in many cases through a lens that most aren't even considering. His first episode exclusively deals with sending our kids back to school during this pandemic, and he cites direct articles from the CDC. He uses their stats and opinions to help make his point, and he even talks about the catastrophic damage that's being done on multiple levels by keeping them home. He discusses the teachers, their points about fighting, being in the classroom again with COVID. And in his second episode, he deals with the issue of cell phones for kids and when exactly it's okay to give them one and all the dangers they present. But in general, he tries to keep it upbeat, and his New York attitude comes through in a lot of snarky, funny ways. And he deals with many issues with social media, specifically in that third episode, influencers. And there's a splash in every episode that shows off love of his bourbon. And there's even a touch of golf in there. So for those that love the PGA Tour, this one's also for you. So why don't you just pour yourself a cocktail, sit back and enjoy this one. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. There's also an Instagram account at instagram.com/the.goat.dad. And of course, the website is thegoatdad.com. So check this one out today. Are you in a position where you need to sell your home? Perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you're facing a foreclosure, a divorce, or maybe you're just relocating because of retirement. Maybe there are some other debt issues and you just need to sell your home. Well, here is a great solution for you. And that solution is Bright Realty Investment. They are a leading real estate solutions company, and their mission is to work hand in hand with all parties to handle every situation with the utmost professionalism and care. So if you're in a particularly stressful financial situation right now and you need to protect your credit, then don't waste another minute. Head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com. That's brightrealtyinvestment.com. And when you go to the website, there's a really easy form you fill out that's right at the top, and they'll get back to you immediately. So why wait? Don't let that divorce, that retirement, or other bad debt situation take control of your life. Take control back and head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com where they can buy your house, protect your credit, and get your life back on track. Again, head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Because Stone Cold said so.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Sunday, September 13th, 2020. Welcome to the show. Big show for you guys tonight, as always, as our flagship show that we like to call it. And that's what this is. This is the one where we talk about everything that happened during the week. And normally I have a co-host. Unfortunately, my co-host couldn't make it tonight. And it is me flying solo. I haven't had a co-host on here in quite a while. I know that. We haven't had a co-host on here in a couple of weeks, if not a little more, and that will be changing soon, I promise. Life happens, though, right? Like, life happens, and life is more important. Real life is more important than, as I call it, kind of playing in the sandbox here with just talking about wrestling. And yeah, we get passionate. We get really intense on the show about certain topics and go off the deep end. But when it comes down to it, like, obviously life outside of this is more important, and keep that in mind for whatever that's worth to you. But hey, this is the flagship show, and thank you so much for joining us as this podcast continues to grow. And it's because of you guys. It's because of the listeners that this show is doing so well and will continue to do even better as things go on and as the years go on. Yeah, I said years. This thing's not going anywhere. We're just getting started. So we're going to get into the weekend review. We've got a ton of content to get to, tons of different topics, as I mentioned at the top of the show, led by some of the headlines of WWE this week with McIntyre kicking Orton three times. You guys heard that in my Raw review. But SmackDown, yeah, our SmackDown team covers SmackDown, but you know what? You don't hear from me directly, and I think that you may find some value in that. I'm not saying my opinion's better than our team. Our team does a great job. It's just different people have different opinions, so we're going to get to that, of course, in a minute as well. But first, something small to announce, but we have moved or dipped our toe, at least into the video realm. I mean, we're not diving headfirst into it. We have not really come up with a complete master plan. It's kind of touch and go at this time. And the video is on YouTube. So if you haven't subscribed yet, head on over to YouTube and just search the WWE podcast. Very simple. We only have like about 100 subscribers or so right now, but that's because we haven't really done much. Like I post my podcasts on there, but you don't go to YouTube to listen to audio generally. It's to watch video. And so I think as you guys head over there and subscribe, obviously the numbers will go up. But right now it's just about kind of seeing how things are, right? Like I've always wanted to get into video a little bit, and it's not a long form audio or long form video whatsoever. It is just a very short minute, 2 minute, maybe 3 minutes tops on a specific topic, kind of news related, but also my opinions in there. This is not, you know, like a Good Morning America with Robin Roberts. All right. I'm not sitting there like a robot reporting the news. It's kind of a pick and choose the things that are going on, big topics that are going on, like Brock Lesnar versus Jon Jones. I covered that. I also covered the Mandy Rose trade to Monday Night Raw, like inexplicably how the hell that happened. So I touch on that as well in my last couple of videos. But again, they're very quick. So I know that we all are pressed on time. You don't want to watch a whole thing. I know that recording an entire podcast in audio form is not interesting at all. And video form is it. So that's not what this is going to be and will never be that. It just doesn't make sense. So I'd encourage you to head on over to YouTube and go to the WWE podcast and check out our latest videos. We'll also continue to post our podcasts on there in audio form, just because, I mean, that's just kind of what we've been doing to reach the widest audience possible. But we are implementing videos now. I think I have like 3 or 4 up now. So check that out. Just a couple minutes long, and you like them? Hey, great. But I'd encourage you to go over there, subscribe, and check out what we've got to offer as we continue to move into video. So let's get to it, guys. Let's get to Monday Night Raw and SmackDown that happened this week. And I think the first thing that comes to mind, the first thing, because I haven't talked to anybody about this yet, is Bayley's, in my estimation, Bayley's best promo to date. And what I mean by that is she's had some good ones. She's been the obnoxious heel with Sasha that took off and exceeded anyone's expectations. I think even creative didn't expect it to last this long. And delivered a different version, a deeper, darker Bayley. That's how I interpreted this. It was Bayley taking the next step to dig the hole even deeper for her heel character. And I think it was the right move. You know, Bayley has been, at first when she turned heel, I loved it. And then I don't think WWE nor Bayley knew what to do with it. She found herself aligning with Sasha. It took a little time to gel, but they found their heel faction or found their heel duo very well, and again, exceeded expectations. But it felt like they were kind of spinning their wheels, and I will admit, it did feel like it was time. And I was hoping they would wait for the split until they're in front of actual people, but you don't know when that's going to be. And they moved into the Amway Center, did the Thunderdome. This is the best we're going to get for now. And I love the presentation much more than in the Performance Center. Never want to see the Performance Center again. But to me, this was a defining moment for her career. Because was it an A+ give you chills promo? No, it wasn't that. But it was something that was, it added another layer to the Bayley character, the heel Bayley character. It added that depth that you need to continue to progress as a heel character. What do I mean by that? Well, she talked about how she struck Sasha before Sasha struck her, basically. And that she used Sasha and she was proud of it. She didn't try to hide it. And this is where I think, I know I'm kind of stretching here, but I think Seth Rollins' trajectory took kind of a weird turn when he didn't own the fact or love the fact that he took out Rey Mysterio's eye. He actually got literally sick over it and he felt looked almost remorseful. No, that's not what you do as a heel. I think, you know, the progression of Seth Rollins' character could take some notes from Bayley's progression as a character. Kind of a weird analogy, I understand. But to me, Bayley owned it, loved it, gave that evil smile that Seth should have given when he took out Rey Mysterio's eye a couple of, well, I want to say a couple months, but probably a month or two, maybe 2 months ago. Feels like forever ago. And that's what I loved, is Bayley didn't backtrack. She didn't show any remorse, and she loved what she did. That's what I am really, really excited for, is the deep, dark Bayley. This is the version of Bayley that I thought existed through all the side ponytails and all the stupid hugs and the Bayley buddies, all of that. This I knew was there. And if you don't believe me, you just think I'm playing Monday morning quarterback. That's not the case. This, and I'm not tooting my horn. People that think I'm gloating, I'm not. I just sometimes can hit it right from a mile away, once in a while. And when Bayley turned heel, I was so excited because I knew this was possible. I saw this in Bayley, and she has found herself, and I'm loving it. And it's making me very interested to see what Sasha's reaction is. And don't forget, these two are not meeting one another at Clash of Champions, which, by the way, it's not Clash of the Champions. But which somebody keeps saying that. I can't remember who it is. Is it Paul Heyman? It actually might be Paul Heyman who keeps saying it's at the Clash of the Champions. No. Paul, it's Clash of Champions. The Clash of Champions. And they added a little tagline as always now, which is what WWE has done. I don't understand what their deal is of just having to add these little marketing slogans to every pay-per-view now. They've done it since WrestleMania. Too big for one night. Right, I mean, I don't want to put myself on the line here of every pay-per-view of what it was. I mean, I think what was the Extreme Rules, the horror show. I think it was one the greatest wrestling match ever at Backlash. And oh gosh, see now I can't remember. That's what happens when I put myself on the spot. But they had Gold Rush to this one, so everyone is just going to have a cute little tagline that everyone has to remember in their promos and on commentary. It's just obnoxious. However, the point I'm making is that Bayley and Sasha are not meeting at Clash of Champions. It looks like they're going to meet at Hell in a Cell. That would, to me, be the next stop for these two. Now, as I said, I am not a fan of a program starting inside of a cell. I'm not. It just doesn't make logical sense. To me, it doesn't, because you go from 0 to 100... and you go from like chapter 1 to chapter 10 instead of telling me the story along the way. And 99 out of 100 times, I will say, absolutely. Why is a program starting in the cell? However, and this is a big however, if WWE is able to draw on the history of these two and not pretend that it doesn't exist or didn't exist, then this is not their first encounter. If you guys haven't followed WWE over the last couple of years, maybe you're new. Bayley and Sasha have had a very tumultuous past. They have not gotten along well. It's been, I love you, I hate you, I love you, I hate you. I want to hug you, I love you, I'm actually in love with you. Now I'm going to attack you. I mean, there was a disaster of a storyline a couple of years ago with these two that just made no sense. They were frenemies. Then they almost started a love storyline. I'm not kidding. And then they became enemies, and then they became friends again now that they're both on SmackDown. I hope they draw on the past. And Bayley kind of alluded to that and said, like, if you look at our past, you really thought that I believed you were my best friend. So that to me says that they're going to actually pull from previous footage, encounter or like the history of these two. I hope they do that. It's worth digging into and not just looking at this last era of these two on SmackDown. It's important to definitely draw from that. I mean, absolutely. But the more important thing is the history, which makes it more makes more sense that these two would go to Hell in a Cell, because that's where this thing should be. It's almost, this is a complete rarity that I would say their first program, their first match of the program should be in Hell in a Cell, but there are years of, there's years of footage that they can draw on from these two, all the way back to NXT. So there's a ton that they could do, and I hope they don't just look at the short term of what happened over the last few months. I mean, don't ignore that, obviously, but that can't be the only thing. I think this will add so much context to the story for people that may not have watched or have forgotten about Bayley and Sasha's past to pull into the Hell in a Cell. Now, to follow up on that, I don't believe Hell in a Cell is going to be their last match. I don't think the first and last match of this is going to be it. Something will happen at Hell in a Cell that will lead maybe all the way to WrestleMania. That's kind of a stretch. I would say at least through maybe the Rumble. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. And I'm fine with that. I just don't know how this is going to play out because there's a lot of things they could do. It's September, which means we have, 7 months until WrestleMania. There's just no way, right? Because it's October, November, December, January, February, March, April. Yeah, 7 months. Anybody else still counting on their hands? Which is exactly what I just did. I'm 35 years old. I still count on my fingers. Why? Just like I have to sing the alphabet to myself to know what letter's next. I feel like I should be back in grade school or something. But my point is, I don't think it's going to last that long. And there's just no way. To me, looking at that now, I don't know why it felt like we were closer to WrestleMania. But to me, this whole thing ends probably Rumble at the absolute latest, or at TLC. I just don't see. Many people have asked, hey, can you see this going to WrestleMania? No. Now that I think about it, no. 7 months. As great as that feud could be, 7 months, people would lose their minds. It would feel like King Corbin versus Roman Reigns, you know, times three. It would be, people would lose their you-know-what. So, no. But I could see this lasting a few months, from the October pay-per-view to the November pay-per-view, and ending before the ball drops, and we, good Lord Almighty, get into 2021 that we're all begging for. And I know that people are asking for 2021, kind of a side note. Oh, let's get it to 2021. It'll be so much better. Well, why? Just because the calendar changes to January. Well, how do we know? Does everything just get erased? Or are we just at a clean slate because we all flipped the calendar to January 2021 and coronavirus is gone and the protests and the rioting is gone? Like, does everything just not exist because it's 2021? I don't know why everyone's so anxious to get to 2021. I guess it's kind of just a symbolic change, a symbolic progression forward that everything is just perfect now and magically goes away because it's 2021. I don't get it. I mean, I understand the logic and kind of the humor behind it, but anyway. Moving on to something else in WWE that happened this week, and something that I know I talked about a little bit on Monday night or Tuesday night for my Monday night review, and that's Drew McIntyre, who kicked Randy Orton in the head three times as retribution, I guess no pun intended, for what Randy Orton did to him a couple of weeks prior to that. And on Monday night of my review, I was not a fan from the one perspective that I don't want Randy Orton's heat gone. He's building nuclear heat and it's getting blown off. The argument to that would be, well, Drew McIntyre is your champion. He's the man that is running the show. Why would he just be bulldozed by Randy Orton? And the argument to that would be, well, I wouldn't want to bulldoze him. I would think that it should be a pretty even fight with Randy Orton using some underhanded tactic like a low blow and an RKO to claim victory and grab the championship. I am just of the belief that Edge should be the one to finally defeat Randy Orton inside of a ring with a finisher. Why in the hell Keith Lee was granted that opportunity before Edge, before Big Show, before Christian, before Drew McIntyre makes no sense. And you may say, we talk about Edge beat him at WrestleMania. Yeah, in a 45-minute grab the nearest weapon and hit your opponent in the head special. You might say, well, no, Drew McIntyre beat him. Yeah, with a backslide. It wasn't a clean, satisfying victory. where Randy Orton gets his head kicked off and he's bleeding left in a bloody pulp. That's what we all want to see. And yes, Drew hit him in the head three times and he got sent to a hospital, and I understand that. But why is Keith Lee the one to get involved? And I'll get to Keith Lee in a minute on this coming Monday Night Raw. But I think as great as it is to see Drew McIntyre stand up, and he is doing an excellent job as champion. He is doing better than I even imagined. And that's without fans. I think if fans were here and in person, he would be getting an even better reaction. And I think have even more momentum than he does now, which is just crazy. But right now, I think the heat of Randy Orton, the building of the heat for Orton, making him your top unbelievable white hot heel, is more important than making sure Drew McIntyre continues to dominate as champion. Because Drew McIntyre is a made man now. Drew McIntyre is a made man. You don't have hot heels this hot come along very often. I don't even know the last time we've had a true, top, nasty, truly hated heel. I mean, you have to go to AEW. You have to go to a different promotion to even find one right now in MJF, who I think in some ways exceeds and supersedes Randy Orton, in many ways, actually. Now, in WWE, I can't tell you the next best heel. Maybe Seth Rollins? Maybe. I think Seth Rollins would probably be your number two heel. Behind maybe now Braun Strowman and or Bray Wyatt. He introduced a new character. We'll talk about that too. But my point I was going to make before I forget, with Drew McIntyre and Keith Lee this week, coming up tomorrow night, or maybe tonight, depending on when you're listening to this, what are they doing with Keith Lee? What are they doing? First of all, Keith Lee is an amazing talent. I want to put that first and foremost, that people think I do not like Keith Lee. I'm down on Keith Lee. I don't think he's important, or I don't see him as a main eventer. No. It couldn't be further from the truth. This guy is the future of WWE. Whether he stays on Raw, gets drafted to SmackDown, this guy has it. And WWE knows it. So my problem is that they are just having him compete at the highest level possible immediately. Why? He was involved in a tournament of sorts to compete for the WWE Championship. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Why? Keith Lee, as great as he is, what has he done to earn it on the Raw roster? The answer is nothing. Yeah, he beat Randy Orton. I understand that. But the guy has been here on Raw, for what, a couple of weeks? And they're having him compete at the highest level possible, facing the top heel in the company, and arguably the top babyface in the company. And I know what they're doing. I understand and appreciate what they're doing. They're trying to make an impact with Keith Lee. They're trying to get fans to recognize him and build rapport and create brand awareness, if you will, of Drew McIntyre. Totally understand. And I get it. I know what they're doing. But it shouldn't be this long. Keith Lee all of a sudden is shot to the top. And I think this speaks to WWE's simple lack of stars. I just think that's what it is. I'm not hating on WWE right now. It's just a fact. The facts are WWE's star power is fairly light at the moment. And particularly in the babyface category, beyond Drew McIntyre, who's next on the Raw roster, right? I mean, so I understand they're building up a top babyface, but I'm also a little bit resentful of the way they're doing it. And I feel for Keith Lee because I have a feeling. No, I don't even have a feeling. I have a pretty darn good conclusion that if they were in front of fans, that I think Keith Lee, there'd be some resentment coming from fans. I really think that, especially with him versus Randy Orton. I just have that feeling because I think fans are smart to the business more than they have ever been, and where they're going with certain people. And I think fans appreciate how damn good Randy Orton has been. and they appreciate a heel more than they remember, because there hasn't been a heel in WWE this hot in many, many, many years. And I think fans appreciate that and want Edge to be the one to take Randy Orton out, not Keith Lee. A guy that has never faced Orton gets the pin after a clean victory. Like, you got to be kidding me. So I was not a fan of the way that they did that. I know Keith Lee is now facing McIntyre and Raw on Monday night. Why, we don't know. It's nothing more than a setup for Randy Orton to come back and interfere and try to get his revenge on Drew McIntyre. That's what this is, and we all can see it. There will not be a conclusion to Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. You can bank on it. Seriously. I mean, I'm not telling anyone to bet their money. That's not what I'm telling you to do. But if you were forced to and someone had a gun to your head, I would put my money on the DQ finish, or maybe probably a DQ finish with Orton attacking McIntyre, McIntyre winning by disqualification. That's most likely. This also could end up in a count out of sorts. But I think ultimately it is nothing more than a non-finish setup for Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre. You cannot. I mean, you just can't have McIntyre versus Keith Lee and have somebody be a definitive winner. No, you're not going to do that to Keith Lee right now, and you're certainly not doing that to McIntyre right now. So, if anything, guys, if you were going to ever bet on anything, bet on a non-finish for that match. So, moving on to Seth Rollins and Dominic. This is a program I think I'm sensing a lot of you guys out there are getting real tired of now. I think you guys as a whole, not everybody, but my listeners at least, are feeling like they've seen enough from the Mysterios and Rollins program, that it has outlived its shelf life and that it is now expired. And I would agree with you to a certain extent. I'll agree with you that there's not a whole lot of juice left to squeeze out of this. That there's not a lot left to do with these people. Yeah, Rey Mysterio and Dominic have brought in their family, literally, like brought in wives and daughters, and everyone got a shot with the kendo stick on Monday night on Murphy. But there's not a whole lot left. Like, what do you do? Okay, you stick Dominic and Seth Rollins inside a steel cage. Which, by the way, I'm pretty sure that's the first steel cage match since this whole thing started in mid-March. So it's been like the first steel cage match in 6 months. It's going to be awesome. It feels like it's been like 3 years. So there's that. There's that going for it. And Dominic is really good in the ring. Or I should say, much better than I thought and probably most people thought. Nothing taken away against Dominic. Certainly needs a whole lot of help on the mic. And that comes with time. That, to me, is a lot harder in some ways than the physical part of it. But Dominic also, I think, needs kind of a personality. He's very dry. He's almost robotic at times. And I think there's something there, too. It's like you want to shake him and be like, where's the real Dominic? Right? But this steel cage match, I'm sure it'll be good. I'm sure it'll be serviceable. I'm sure it'll be entertaining, but I'm also sure of this. Fans are starting to get a little restless with this program and want a payoff. They want a conclusion. And I don't know if WWE has that right now. I think they're kind of going, well, this is working. Fans like it. And we do. But we got to come up with an exit strategy here, folks. We got to come up with, what's the end game? Creative needs to come up with something. What's the payoff? Now it's time to start thinking about that. And it should end at Hell in a Cell. This, to me, if you guys can hang on another month, this should be it. With Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins inside Hell in a Cell, no interference. And have Seth Rollins win. That's, to me, how I would book this. Seth Rollins is more important than Rey Mysterio is at this point in his career. That's all there is to it. And yeah, the babyface typically goes over inside the cell, typically, not all the time. But when you look at who's more important, what if Rey Mysterio won? And won clean? I think that would do a lot of damage to Seth Rollins. But it could be loser leaves WWE, loser leaves the brand. I don't know what the stipulation is going to be, but that's not for me to figure out. That's for creative to figure out in the production team. So, not me. But my point is, I know I feel you guys on the restlessness, but think about and appreciate at least the story that's been told, and realize that this is not a program that many of us were super excited about to begin with, and has turned out to be one of the better programs on Raw. But I'm with you. I'm going, okay, we've seen this. What's next? Can we get a finale? It's like the fireworks on 4th of July. There's some nice fireworks, but after a while you're like, okay, can we get to the finale so I can go home? That's kind of what this feels like. I'm in the fourth quarter of the game, if you will. I'm in a football mode, by the way, as many of you may be, with the NFL officially going full bore tonight. And I have a fantasy team that I'm keeping track of, as many of you may as well. But it is truly the fourth quarter of the game, and there's not a whole lot of time left. So let's get to the finish. That's how I feel about this program.
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are you in a position where you need to sell your home? Perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you're facing a foreclosure, a divorce, or maybe you're just relocating because of retirement. Maybe there are some other debt issues and you just need to sell your home. Well, here is a great solution for you. And that solution is Bright Realty Investment. They are a leading real estate solutions company, and their mission is to work hand in hand with all parties to handle every situation with the utmost professionalism and care. So if you're in a particularly stressful financial situation right now and you need to protect your credit, then don't waste another minute. Head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com. That's brightrealtyinvestment.com. And when you go to the website, there's a really easy form you fill out that's right at the top, and they'll get back to you immediately. So why wait? Don't let that divorce, that retirement, or other bad debt situation take control of your life. Take control back and head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com, where they can buy your house, protect your credit, and get your life back on track. Again, head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
All right, let's move on to something else here. And WWE has been promoting this mystery woman on SmackDown. Legs, heels, blonde hair. I think, now listen, if you guys don't want to know or hear rumors of who this may be, skip ahead. Okay, that was your warning. So rumor has it that it's Carmella, kind of a reinvigorated, repackaged Carmella. I think that makes sense. I think that made sense given that she is a blonde and we haven't seen her in a while. I think that makes sense. And what they do with her, who knows? And I mean, I'm not sure what they're going to do with Carmella. She's gone from, a really underrated women's champion to who was James Ellsworth's sidekick, to R-Truth's sidekick, back to kind of in the Raw or the SmackDown Women's Division. She needs to go on her own and be serious because she is a really good heel, and I hope that they take it and run with it. I really do. I hope that Carmella, if it is Carmella, that they take her seriously and stop having her be kind of like a quasi-manager for someone else. So that's the rumor of who it could be. Moving on to something else on SmackDown, and that is the Wobbly Walrus. So originally, Bray Wyatt had tried to pull out of a box the parrot. I think it was Pasquale, the preserving parrot, I think is who he originally was trying to bring out of the box. And apparently this character was dead because he didn't poke holes in the box. So Vince McMahon came out and said, that's good, you know what, and brought out Wobbly the Walrus, which we all kind of believe is just a play on Paul Heyman. He's been referenced as a walrus many times. Jim Ross did it a number of 10, 15 years ago. And it looks like they are playing on that moniker. I think that is something that's, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if this is a character that's long-term. Probably not. It's probably a character that's only going to exist forever. while this program is going on with Wyatt and Roman Reigns. I would think that's a program that's far from over. Jey Uso is, to me, a very, very much a tool in the toolkit of Roman Reigns becoming a monster heel. That, to me, is what Jey Uso's role is in this. But as far as Bray Wyatt goes, yeah, this is... The Funhouse was kind of... It was longer than it needed to be. It wasn't one of my favorite episodes, and I'll leave it at that. But Jey Uso, to me, I think, number one, here's the benefactor. While Jey Uso's got almost a 0% chance to win the Universal Championship at Clash of Champions, the fact that they are giving him the trust to put him in that position to be a single star for the first time in his career to challenge for a universal, for any kind of singles championship is, I think, a nice move to see with Jey Uso. It also gives someone new for Roman to work with, and boy, does he have a lot of new people to work with as a heel. I think he's kind of run through everyone as a babyface anyway. And having Jey Uso as the family of Roman Reigns, really pointing that home, and even showing pictures of them when they were like in their, you know, late teens, it looked like, in mid, you know, 15 to 20 years old, it looked like pictures of them. That was a nice touch, because what this does by showing the bloodline, showing the connection, is it makes the moment when Roman Reigns beats the holy hell out of Jey Uso in a brutal fashion at Clash of Champions that much more impactful, that he would do this to a family member. Imagine what he's going to do to somebody that is not his family. And that's the selling point for Paul Heyman is, hey, he did this to his own flesh and blood. What do you think he's going to do to you this coming Sunday, to whoever his next opponent is? It's a great, great building block to have Jey Uso being sold as being close with Roman Reigns and his family, and they grew up together. It is a great, great way to do it. And it, could it end up being The Rock who ends up stopping him? It could be. That, I mean, I touched on that, and I think it was a YouTube video, my first YouTube video I did, about The Rock versus Brock Lesnar. Or, I'm sorry, Brock Lesnar. That I wish would happen, but it's not. The Rock versus Roman Reigns. And that after... You know, Roman Reigns takes out Jey Uso, takes out Jimmy Uso, continues to maybe brag about it, run through additional opponents, and then The Rock is the one who comes back for a WrestleMania program. Hell, I would love it. I would love it. I know many people out there, oh, I don't want to see The Rock. Why? Why would you not want to see The Rock versus Roman Reigns? You couldn't tell me that wouldn't move the needle. You couldn't tell me that wouldn't be a program you'd at least be semi-interested in simply for the fact of The Rock is back. But again, I'm getting a few steps ahead of myself, but it's definitely possible, especially given Roman Reigns has turned heel. Boy, that's so weird to say still. That's so weird to say after how many years, 6 years I've been talking about turning Roman heel, and it's just weird to say that it's actually reality. But I hope they take the slow burn, and it looks like they are. They're taking a smart approach here. We haven't heard a whole lot from Roman. His actions are speaking louder than words with him. It's always a good thing. And to have Paul Heyman as a mouthpiece, considering Roman Reigns is not exactly an A-plus promo, just like Brock wasn't, is a great way to get him over even further. Because now you don't have to worry about the promo part of it. Roman Reigns just has to stand there and do what Brock does. Look mean, look nasty, occasionally cut in a couple of words, and come out and just do what he does. Like, Roman Reigns is in a great place. A really good place. And it's going to get him over even more as a babyface, of which they should have done about 5 years ago. But it's finally here. I'm shocked that they've done it. And you know, hey, it's about damn time. But this is the smart thing to do. Build it slow. We don't ever hear a whole lot. We're like, hey, what the hell, Roman? He comes out when it's advantageous to him, does minimal amount of work, and captures the championship and is gone. He shows up and he wins. I love it. This is really good stuff. So prepare to see Jey Uso maybe even bloodied and battered at the end of Clash of Champions, where the announcers are really selling how sick it is. It's his own flesh and blood. What is he doing? This is going to be sold like he just murdered his, you know, his wife. I mean, this is going to be bad. I guess that's a little extreme, but you guys know what I'm talking about. But all right, moving down the line here to Otis and Tucker, who... have kind of been lost in the sauce. They've been lost in obscurity after, again, Vince McMahon really shoved Tucker aside for the love infatuation with Otis. And Otis ends up getting a victory over John Morrison via pinfall after hitting the Caterpillar. Good Lord, is that... can Otis's finish get any worse? Can it please get... I know you could say, oh, The Rock with the People's Elbow. That was just an elbow drop. And yeah, it was, but there was a spine buster before it. And the way The Rock did it had so much more energy to it than watching a overweight individual with a shirt six sizes too small because of Vince McMahon finds it funny to have him do the Caterpillar, i.e. the Worm from Scotty Too Hotty, but you can't call it the Worm, and just does an elbow drop. I mean, it makes no sense that that's his finish, but boy, I mean, it could be more telling about what WWE views John Morrison as than what they view Otis as. Especially considering that The Miz and John Morrison have been after the Money in the Bank briefcase and trying to find his contract because they have an attorney now that feels there's a loophole and there's somehow, I guess there's a way that they could utilize the contract, maybe because possession's 9/10 of the law. I don't know. They'll come up with some kind of weird logic. But they keep just coming across Otis's lunch because that's what Vince does, is expose men that have guts and beer bellies as loving food and basically shaming them on TV. I mean, when you look at it, that's what Vince does. When Vince finds somebody that has, I guess, a little bit more weight than they should, Randy Orton did it with Kevin Owens. When Kevin Owens, I mean, he fights in a t-shirt. He doesn't fight with his shirt off, obviously. But I remember Randy Orton coming out and making fun of Kevin Owens' weight. You had it here now with Otis. How many times have we seen him, you know, drinking milkshakes or eating legs of ham or whatever. It's not funny. It doesn't do anything for me. It actually hurts the Money in the Bank briefcase, what it means, and hurts Otis as a character. They have really just botched the hell out of Otis. Big time. Big time. It's not one of my favorites. So, what else happened here? Because I already gave you my Raw review, but the Intercontinental Championship debacle. Number one, let me just say this. I love Sami Zayn back. Sami Zayn back is awesome. I've been really clamoring to see him. I'm glad he's back. It was upsetting that he left. I was upset that his program with Braun Strowman just kind of went by the wayside and that Braun Strowman never got his hands on Sami Zayn. Like, that program was never fleshed out. It was never visited after Sami Zayn beat Braun Strowman in a handicap match with Shinsuke and Cesaro to claim the Intercontinental Championship, and Braun Strowman never got his hands on Sami Zayn. I hope they revisit that. I really do. I don't think it'll be in the near future, considering that Braun Strowman's kind of tangled somewhat in the Universal Championship picture, I guess, still, and he also is newly turned heel, and with Sami Zayn as a heel, it doesn't make sense. But this debacle with AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy is semi-entertaining. I mean, Sami Zayn can make anything entertaining, which is, credit to him. I think really Sami Zayn is the hero or the star of this program. This looks like it's predictably headed to a triple threat match to determine the true Intercontinental Champion, as all three men feel like they are the champion. Jeff Hardy, I guess you could say, is the true champion. I mean, he is, after Sami Zayn left. But Sami Zayn never lost. And he was champion when he left. And WWE pulled the rug out from him and said that he is being stripped the Intercontinental Championship because he can no longer compete. I.e., he was probably concerned about coronavirus and the way the WWE was handling it, but that'll never be brought to the forefront. And AJ Styles feels like he's the true champion. And it's just this whole who's the real champion deal. So this is begging for a triple threat at Clash of Champions to determine who is the true rightful Intercontinental Champion. That's exactly what this is going to be. Now, a side note on this. Jeff Hardy stumbled after the match with AJ Styles. And it was later determined that he was dehydrated. Is that really the reason you want to give for somebody that is a recovering alcoholic? Because if you're dehydrated, oftentimes that means you're hungover. That's what being hungover basically is being super dehydrated. Is that really the reason you want to give? Why was that even a thing? What are they doing? That was just I don't know. I hope they don't play on Hardy's any more of his drug addiction past. I mean, can we move past that, please? Please. It was a bit concerning. I will say that. Lucha House Party defeated Cesaro and Shinsuke via the devastating, devastating roll-up and the just completely, completely predictable and overused finish of somebody being distracted by either music or something on the Titantron and having them get a roll-up victory against them. And that's exactly what happened here as the Street Profits were backstage in the Champions Lounge and building to their match against one another. And the distraction allowed Kalisto to steal the victory. So I'm glad Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro are getting more attention than they normally would. I will say that. I'm glad that they are at least getting camera time. They're getting mic time, which is good. I'm not a fan of Street Profits. I will say that. I'm liking them less week by week. Some of you may like their personality. Outgoing, just bombastic, cartoonish. I do not. I'm not saying they have to be, you know, super serious. I'm not saying they have to Lance Storm it and be serious for a minute. I'm not saying that. But I'm not sure how anyone cannot be off-put by their antics and the way that they present themselves. And look, if they're being themselves, great. But to me, that's heel. I'm not saying they're bad. They're good in the ring, especially Montez Ford. They're charismatic. That's great. They're a talent. I'm not saying to fire them, for God's sakes. My point, though, is their personalities on air are not very becoming of a babyface tag team or individual. I find them, again, very obnoxious. And many of you are like, what are you talking about? They're great. No, well, I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. They were destroyed, I think, by the whole anything you can do, I can do better with the Viking Raiders. And they haven't recovered since. They're just kind of backstage doing childish things, speaking in tongues at times and rhymes that I don't understand. It's just not my thing. It's not my thing. And if it's your thing, great. Maybe it's just not my flavor. If it's not my flavor, that's kind of what wrestling is. But hey, just throwing my two cents out there. I find them extremely obnoxious, unlikable, and to me, scream heel. But that's me. So, nonetheless, they ended up in the Champions Lounge, and they had a party, and they're eating popcorn, and it's just whatever. This is like trying to be the comedy segment of the show. It wasn't my favorite comedy segment, but anyway. The last thing I'll say is the closing image of SmackDown with Roman Reigns holding up the championship in his tag match with Jey Uso as Roman came at the very end to simply deliver a spear and get the victory was Jey Uso holding up the hand of Roman Reigns that was holding the Universal Championship. And I will say the look that Roman Reigns gave Jey Uso told you so much. He looked at him as if, are you kidding me, man? Get your hand away from my championship. Who do you think you are? That's what the words that I read from the actions of Roman Reigns told me. So it was, yes, Roman Reigns isn't speaking as much with Paul Heyman, but in a way he's speaking more because his actions are just spot on right now. The way that he looks at his opponents, how he comes in when it's opportune again. And I think we're going to continue to see that. I don't know how you do it in a one-on-one scenario. You can't either start the match or you don't. I mean, you're not going to have the guy fight himself. So I don't know how they deal with that moving forward. But I'll be very interested to see how Roman Reigns beats Jey Uso at Clash of Champions. Very interested. So again, SmackDown was good. I really enjoyed SmackDown. And you know, Monday Night Raw was weird. It was weird. You guys heard my review from Tuesday. It wasn't my favorite. I had a lot of issues with the storyline and congruity of things, but you can go listen. I'm not going to repeat everything I said in my Raw review. You guys can go and revisit that from my Tuesday show, but overall, I think it was a good week for WWE. Good week. Yes, Mandy Rose got traded. You guys can go listen to my video on YouTube, or watch my video, I should say. I'm not used to saying watch on YouTube, and hear my just frustrations with Mandy Rose being traded. And not that I have a problem with her being traded, just number one, what are they going to do with her? Number two, how do these trades happen? This makes no sense. That's what I said, literally. I just verbatim said what I said in my video, that like it doesn't make any sense. There's no rhyme or reason for how these trades are done, who's authorizing these. It looks like Adam Pearce has kind of become the de facto, I guess, authority figure on SmackDown and Raw. So, I don't know. I don't know how this is happening, but nonetheless, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I will be back tomorrow with Wrestling Nostalgia. And of course, you guys, or not tomorrow, jeez, what, do I even know what day it is? Good God, it's Sunday. That was Tuesday. This is not good. This is not good. This is what happens when you don't sleep. But it's Sunday, so I'll be back on Tuesday. That's right, I said Tuesday with your Raw review, Wednesday's Wrestling Nostalgia, and of course the rest of the week speaks for itself with all the other shows coming. I'll try to pop in another video on YouTube with a topic that comes up, as wrestling always provides something to talk about. There's never an off day in wrestling. And so I'll find something to get on there. Again, a couple minutes tops of a show. You don't have to commit very long at all. It's very quick and easy to watch. So check that out, guys, on YouTube. Please give me a subscribe, a like, comment, whatever you can. And also do that on any social media platform you can, too, or podcast platform. It really helps out the show. If you want to support the show, please head on over to Apple Podcasts or any other podcast you have and just give us a 5-star rating and a review. It really, really does help us, I promise. Also, the website, and if you want ad-free, Patreon. We're on Patreon if you want a complete ad-free experience for $1 a month. So that is also available to you. Alrighty, well, I think I've said everything, and I'm going to be heading out here now. Head on over to, again, the website, but email us, realwwepodcast@gmail.com, if you want to get yourself on the show. And you can send a voicemail there as well, or send us questions, and we'll read them on the air at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. So, guys, that's it for me right now. Until then, I'll talk to you soon. Are you in a position where you need to sell your home? Perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you're facing a foreclosure, a divorce, or maybe you're just relocating because of retirement. Maybe there are some other debt issues, and you just need to sell your home. Well, here is a great solution for you. And that solution is Bright Realty Investment. They are a leading real estate solutions company, and their mission is to work hand in hand with all parties to handle every situation with the utmost professionalism and care. So if you're in a particularly stressful financial situation right now and you need to protect your credit, then don't waste another minute. Head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com. That's brightrealtyinvestment.com. And when you go to the website, there's a really easy form you fill out that's right at the top, and they'll get back to you immediately. So why wait? Don't let that divorce, that retirement, or other bad debt situation take control of your life. Take control back and head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com, where they can buy your house, protect your credit, and get your life back on track. Again, head on over to brightrealtyinvestment.com.